This month's attack on a U.S. consulate in Saudi Arabia underscored a fact of the war on terror. American diplomats are part of that conflict. They're working with sometimes uneasy allies. They're gathering information, and they're trying to avoid becoming targets. The number of Foreign Service officers has been growing, and one of those overseeing that growth is Robert Pearson. He's Director General of the Foreign Service. They're career diplomats who spend much of their lives abroad. Pearson has worked in U.S. embassies from Turkey to China.
On September 10th in 2001, we had 13 or so posts that we classified as danger posts, where we specifically paid danger pay. Now we have 28. And if you add provincial posts in Iraq and in Afghanistan, it would be even higher.
In these hardship positions, how is the average diplomat's day different than it would have been 5 years ago?
I think the average diplomat's day, taken outside the security framework, frankly, is not that much different, because that diplomat's going out to see people in the foreign ministry, they're going to see community leaders, they're going to see business leaders, but they're going to have to be careful about how they get to work. The person who's in charge of security at the embassy is going to be careful about how to protect the facility. The modern face of terrorism is to try to attack facilities more and large groups of people more than was the pattern in the 80s when individuals were often targeted. So that part of your life you simply absorb. When I was in Ankara, for example, we had a town hall meeting one day, and one of our colleagues' spouses came to the meeting, and she pushed a pram into the meeting with her newborn baby in it. She raised her hand and she said, "Could someone tell me in a little more detail how to look for a car bomb under my car?" So we went back through this. We said, it's kind of like a garden. They have things planted in your garden, and if you find something that shouldn't be in your garden, it could be suspicious. So that kind of self-awareness, people instinctively learn to think about and react to.
And is there a way that the mission has changed fundamentally?
No, not fundamentally. You know, even a country's basic interests don't change fundamentally absent some catastrophic event. Think about this interesting fact. 50 years from now, by mid-century, the combined population of North America, including Mexico, and all of Europe will be 10% of the world's population. So our task as American diplomats for the United States will be to try to cement the values that have proven to be successful, democracy and economic progress and social justice, into a much larger circle of humanity. And that is good for the United States. That obviously is also good for the people involved. But it means that the future of the United States is brighter if that reality comes to pass.
Other countries outnumber us, you're saying, and they're going to be stronger and more powerful over time. And they had better be democratic countries that are sympathetic to the United States.
No, that sounds as if we're trying to compel them into something.
Let me rephrase it then. Yeah. We would hope it would be in our interest, in the United States' interest, that they be governed in a way that's sympathetic to us.
Yes, that they be governed democratically, because I think the democratic idea is still probably the most powerful single idea in the world. The notion that every person holds within their own hands the ability to vote for whom they like, to worship the God they wish to have the friends they wish to engage in the business they want to. All of those things are extremely powerful ideas, and in fact, much of the world aspires to those ideas. We need to foster and continue to foster the conditions that make that more and more possible. If we do that, that, of course, strengthens the U.S. We want to be prepared for those kinds of challenges, and that's why we've made significant changes in our career development and in our ability to respond to crises in order to do that.
One of the biggest jobs that a Foreign Service officer faces is being a reporter, in a sense, trying to understand the country that he's in, getting information back to people in Washington. Isn't that getting harder and harder because more and more security measures have to be taken to insulate Foreign Service officers from the countries they're in?
Well, we protect the people and the facilities, and of course that's the first priority for everybody, and especially for ambassadors overseas. But you still have this need to get out into the community and not just to talk about political issues, but economic issues, social issues, cultural issues. So every ambassador everywhere works on how to balance this requirement.
Do you sense that inevitably something is lost
I think that there is a sense of nostalgia about what people call the good old days, maybe the 50s, the early 60s, when, for example, in Paris, it was possible to walk in off the street and go down to the basement and have a hamburger in the American Cafe at the embassy. But in terms of the actual work that we do, I think people wish they didn't have to work under these kinds of conditions, but they accept it and they do their jobs anyway. And after all, we are the agency whose responsibility it is to be overseas, to protect American citizens and interest overseas. So we do it under those conditions and I think do it rather well.
When you have a moment in history like this where there are a lot of governments who have said they're unhappy with the United States policy, a lot of populations where public opinion surveys would suggest people are unhappy with the United States, does that directly affect the diplomats and their relationship with their counterparts in the host governments, or do people go about their business in a professional way and things don't really change?
People largely go about their business in a professional way, but there's no substitute for personal contact. When I was in Paris, we set up 5 posts around the country, which we called American Presence Posts. One American in 5 different French cities whose job it was to get to know the people, and the political leaders, and the culture, and so on, and to talk to people. That kind of effort, I think, is the kind of effort we will probably need around the world.
The State Department was seen as having, in the last several years, many debates with the Defense Department and others in the administration over the direction of U.S. foreign policy. Has that perception of the State Department being on the losing end of these debates affected people's morale or their feelings about their job?
I think people feel very good about the fact that under any circumstance, we did our best to tell the truth as we saw it. And that's what a professional does. And at the same time, we carry out the president's policies as we are asked to do. And that was the guiding line for us. And let me just give you one example. When we filled approximately 200 positions in Baghdad last year, Steve, we had over 1,000 people, 1,000 requests to go fill those 200 positions. Because most of the people who join the Foreign Service, especially today, people who saw 9/11 and reacted to it, really want to try to make a difference. And so I think that that response is a very good example of the spirit of the State Department.
Ambassador Robert Pearson is Director General of the Foreign Service of the State Department. Thanks very much.
Thank you.